Welcome to the Weight Loss for Healthcare Providers podcast with Delaine MD, the podcast for healthcare professionals struggling to lose weight. If you are a physician, nurse, or other clinician looking to permanently shed those pounds, gain control, stop emotional eating, and live a fuller, more authentic, and happier life, Dr. Delaine Vaughn offers sustainable strategies and the support you need to overcome the challenges that undermine permanent weight loss. Hey, hey, hey! Happy summer day to you! Welcome back to the podcast. So I hope everybody's enjoying the summer. I sure am. It's the best time of the year. So for those of you who are new, my name is Delaine Vaughn. I have a weight and life coaching business called Delaine MD. I am a family practice doctor by training who has turned life and weight coach to help female nurses lose 20 to 40 pounds. So if you find that you work in the healthcare community and you're a nurse getting it done every day, day in and day out, and you just want to find a way to lose that weight that you've been struggling with, I am the coach for you. I can totally help. If you're interested in this, contact me through the contact me link on my website, DelaneMD.com, or you can contact me through Facebook at DelaneMD on Facebook. So today we are going to talk about shoulds. Shoulding all over ourselves is what I talk about with my clients on this. What I mean by shoulds are our thoughts of how things should be. Most of us have a ton of these rattling around in our brains. So things like, it should be sunny all the time. This is certainly one of my personal thoughts. Or thoughts of, people should pick up after themselves around my house, or people should be considerate of one another, or people should be honest, loyal, just, etc. Or another version of this, the shoulds close sibling, is what people shouldn't do. People should not drive their car in the left-hand lane that's a passing lane. I have that personal should not. People should not leave messes all around my house. People should not steal, lie, murder, or cheat. So especially as nurses and healthcare providers, we totally have this, right? People come to us all the time, literally asking for our medical advice. We're like paid to give people shoulds and should nots, right? You shouldn't smoke. You should exercise regularly. You should not drink to excess. You should get enough sleep. You shouldn't listen to music too loud. You should take all of your meds as prescribed. These are all things that we tell people all day long, and literally we're paid to do it. These seem totally innocent, right? I'm telling you not to smoke. I'm telling you to exercise. I'm telling you to take care of yourself. They seem innocent, like we're trying to do something to help somebody out, right? They also seem very straightforward. So this is kind of where it gets sticky. When I tell somebody that they should take all of their meds, or when I ask them, are you taking your meds like I prescribed them? And they're like, yeah, I'm totally taking my meds. What they really sometimes mean is I'm taking my meds most of the days. Or I'm taking most of the doses. Did you take all that antibiotic? Well, yeah, I mean, I took most of the antibiotic, right? That is not what I'm asking you. When you say, yes, I took my antibiotics, I'm assuming you took them as prescribed in the time frame I prescribed them. When I'm asking you if you're taking your blood pressure medication, I'm making the assumption you're taking it every day, not only 4 or 5 days a week, right? When you tell people that you shouldn't drink to excess, that has a lot of different meanings to a lot of different people. We, as medical providers, are like, yeah, you shouldn't drink more than 1 or 2 drinks a day. Some people are like, well, I mean, maybe they're 1 or 2 32-ounce drinks a day. Or another common thought that I see amongst patients is, I'm only drinking beer. I'm not drinking hard liquor, so it's okay. I'm not drinking to excess. It doesn't matter they're drinking a 6 to a 12-pack a night. Or other things, you should exercise regularly. Well, I do exercise regularly. Once or twice a week, I go to the gym. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, as medical providers, the studies say if you exercise 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, that's where you're going to get the benefit. That's what we're talking about when we talk about exercising regularly, right? Or my other favorite, you shouldn't smoke. Well, I don't smoke. I vape. You're still getting the nicotine, right? You still have the risks of stroke, of heart disease. It's not like you're not smoking just because you're vaping instead. So one, we think that these shoulds and should nots, especially in the medical arena, we think they're very innocent and we think they're very straightforward, right? But even in the non-medical arena, people should pick up after themselves. Well, I do pick up after myself most of the time. And what one person finds considerate, another person may not find considerate. What one person sees as loyal, one person may not see as loyal. What one person sees as stealing, another person may see as taking what they need to provide for their family. So these things are not as straightforward as we think they are, and they're not always as innocent as we think they are. So most people, if they're aware and they start to really critically look at their thoughts, they find that they have tons of these shoulds and shouldn'ts running through their head. You should take out the trash. You shouldn't wear that. You should have taken your medications. You shouldn't eat that. You should have gotten your flu shot. You shouldn't do that. You should do this. We have all of these shoulds floating in our head all the time. Once you start to look for them and start to see them clearly for what they are, you can start to see what kind of results they're getting at you. So I'm going to use the example of somebody having their stethoscope go missing. And I'm going to show you what the should thoughts lead to and what results they lead to, how it feels. And then I want to talk about that a little bit more. So your stethoscope's gone. That's your circumstance and the thought model. If you're listening to this new, go back and find my podcast where I discuss the thought model and explain it. That will help this make a little more sense. But you use the circumstance, your stethoscope is gone. The thought is, people shouldn't steal my stethoscope, right? That's your thought. Your feeling might be violated or victimized or hurt or helpless. Your action might be to accuse others of taking it. Or maybe your action is to suspiciously inspect everybody's stethoscope to see if it's your stethoscope. Or even, I think everybody's probably seen this happen, that sometimes this feeling of victimized, of feeling violated, leads somebody to see another stethoscope that they think is theirs, and they take it because it's sure they are sure that it's their stethoscope. So you can see where these actions result in a persistent thought about people shouldn't steal. You accuse others of taking it, but your thought is because people shouldn't take things, right? You start to look at everybody else as a possible thief. Or maybe you turn into the thief. That's the result that you get whenever these are your thoughts about people should or shouldn't do things, right? The other part about this is every time you tell the story, you are the victim. You tell it from a victim's role. This entire scenario, all of the things that come from this thought that people shouldn't steal, all of it feels shitty for you. All of it. And it's not because the stethoscope is gone that feels shitty. What feels shitty is that you have a thought that this should not be this way. People should not steal. So, before we go on too far, I know there's probably a good chunk of you, maybe 90% of you, I hope less, but maybe 90% of you out there who are saying, no, that's horseshit. The circumstance is my stethoscope was stolen. What I'm going to offer you is that is a thought. That is not a circumstance. Even if you are able to prove that your coworker Ted has your stethoscope, the idea of saying that it was stolen means that you clearly know his intent. Most of the time, people would not openly say that they stole your stethoscope. Maybe Ted had a buddy who floated to your unit last week, and they forgot their stethoscope, and it looks just like yours. And Ted took the stethoscope, thinking it was his buddy's and he was going to return it. Ted's intent was not to steal your stethoscope, right? So that's where you cannot prove the intent behind that. So it is never going to be a circumstance. It will always be a thought as long as you have this interpretation in there, this interpretation of the action, the interpretation of the intent being stealing. So that's the first thing. We got to get that straight from the get-go. Your stethoscope being gone, that is a circumstance. How it got gone, those are all thoughts about it, right? So sometimes you will uncover a reality, a circumstance, the stethoscope was broken, the stethoscope got left somewhere, right? So these are all other scenarios, other circumstances that could be the reason why your stethoscope is gone. Maybe you lost it. Maybe you left it in a patient's bed when you were in doing your final evaluation of your patient on your shift, and you put it down in their bed, and then you discharged the patient, and they grabbed their sweatshirt that you'd put the stethoscope on and put it in their bag, and they took it home. That's not stealing. That's you being careless with your stethoscope, right? Maybe you let a colleague borrow it. Maybe you forgot you let a colleague borrow it. Maybe a colleague just needed a stethoscope, came out to the nurse's station, saw this one, grabbed it quickly, went in to do their assessment, and still has it because they left theirs at home. Maybe your stethoscope broke, and that's why you don't have a stethoscope. All of these are other thoughts behind your stethoscope being gone that lead to different feelings. Not all of these thoughts are going to lead to feeling violated, victimized, hurt, or helpless, right? And again, the problem becomes when we feel these cruddy feelings, we suffer with them, and then we want to buffer that suffering away. We want to buffer the suffer, right? It leads us to do things like getting rid of the bad feelings with a bag of Oreos, an Oreo debriefing per se, right? Or having the rest of your shift be cruddy because you have this recurrent thought about your stethoscope being stolen, that you find yourself after your shift looking through your pantry and pilfering it for anything that you can eat. That's a lot of times what's ending up happening when you have these crappy thoughts about things that should or should not happen. That's where it gets to be a problem with us and our weight loss. So yes, some of these alternative scenarios or circumstances still can have negative feelings associated with them, right? But it's still not feeling victimized, like you have no control over it, right? So if your stethoscope got lost or it broke, maybe you feel frustrated about that, but it's not the same scenario as feeling victimized by it, right? So maybe you feel frustrated. Maybe your action is to try to recoup it or try to fix it. And maybe the result is you're able to do that, or maybe your action is you just have to go replace it. But your result is you broke your stethoscope and now you have a new one, right? Or you lost your stethoscope and now you have a new one. When you think of a friend or a colleague or a coworker borrowing with or without your permission, maybe you forgot that you told them they could borrow it. Maybe they just came in quickly and grabbed it. Thinking I loaned that stethoscope to somebody who needed it makes you feel better. Right? Susie came and snagged your stethoscope off the nurse's station, not with the intent of stealing, but with just quickly to do a quick evaluation on a patient who's decompensating. They know that you're the kind of nurse they can come to and rely on to help them out when they need help. God, that feels way better than somebody stole my stethoscope and now I'm the victim and violated, right? That feels so much better. You feel like you're a comrade. You feel like you're somebody they can count on. You feel reliable. All of that feels so much better. And all of these scenarios have the same circumstance. There's no stethoscope. The thought that people shouldn't steal is what is causing you to feel bad, is what is causing you to feel victimized, is what is causing you to suffer. So I want you to stick with me here because, again, this is hard. I know a bunch of you are like, I'm checking out of this podcast. This is crazy. But stick with me. Because this is going to give you a mind-blowing perception of how to look at things that happen in your world. And it's also going to give you a better perception on what is reality and what is not. So I'm sure you are all 100% of you right now. So stealing is okay. Is that what you're saying, Delaine? Stealing's okay? I am not saying stealing's okay. I'm not at all. Stealing is certainly not okay. It's not in alignment with my personal integrity. But do people steal? Why, yes, they absolutely do steal. We in medicine see this all the time. Wrong, bad, sad things happen to people all over the world every single day. So does it mean because it's wrong or sad or bad that these things shouldn't happen? Obviously, it doesn't mean that, right? We see patients come down with cancer all the time. Does it mean cancer shouldn't happen? No, we know cancer is totally going to happen in the world, right? This is part of the possibility of human experience, right? We don't sit there and argue with whether cancer should or should not happen. Cancer does happen. Bad things happen all the time. I want you to think about one definition of should. This is one of the ways that I really kind of like to look at shoulds because I really think it kind of clears it up. Should is a word that is used to indicate what is probable. That is a definition in dictionary.com of what should is. Should is a word used to indicate what is probable. So what is probable? Is stealing probable? Yeah, stealing happens all over. the world every day, every minute, dare I say. So should staling happen? Yeah, I guess it should. It's probable that it will happen, right? Does it mean it's right? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the probability of the human experience coming into contact with these negative experiences, these bad things, things like stealing, is definitely part of the human experience, right? I should expect that wrong things could happen to me. Dare I say wrong things should happen to me, because they are all part of what is probable in the human experience somewhere. We don't like to think that bad things are probable for us. We're above that. We're better than that. I don't know about you, but that sounds entitled to me. Entitled to believe that we, in our privileged, special, or chosen station, should never have to experience something bad in our lives. So when these experiences occur, stealing, death, murder, rape, leaving messes in the house, inconsiderate people, injustice, when these things happen to us, we feel entitled to feel victimized, violated, hurt, helpless. And maybe this indulgence in these bad feelings and these unpleasant feelings leads us to start feeling hateful or intolerant of these things or the people who do these things. And then we feel justified in the ugliness of this. Why? Because stealing, death, murder, rape, inconsiderate people, and unjust people shouldn't happen. Because we have the story we tell ourselves, this entitled story about what should and should not happen. So in the end, who feels bad over all of these shitty thoughts? Does the thief feel bad? Does the cancer feel bad? Does the murderer feel bad? Does the rapist feel bad? Do the rude people feel bad? Do the unjust people feel bad? No, none of them feel bad. You feel bad. You're literally the only one feeling bad in that scenario. No one else does. Cancer sure as shit doesn't feel bad. So what if, hold on to your britches here, kids, what if all of these things should happen? When should is used in the sense of a probability, a possibility. What if we can start looking at shoulds as it's a probable experience that somewhere a human being in the world may have to experience, that it's a possibility? Again, I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying these things are all in alignment with my personal integrity. I'm not saying these things are right. I'm not saying they're okay. I'm certainly not saying that I want one of these things to be in the possibility or probability of my loved ones. But I would offer, if this did happen to my loved ones, if one of my loved ones came down with a deadly disease, I certainly would not want it to be any more negative of an event than it absolutely had to be. Would I be sad if one of my loved ones died of an unexpected disease? Absolutely. I would be sad, and I'd want to be sad. That's a whole nother podcast I'm sure we'll get to someday. I would want to be sad. I would want sadness to be on the plate of optional emotions that I get to choose one, because I would mourn my loved one. I would miss my loved one. I would be sad that I don't get to have any more fun experiences with that person. But I wouldn't want to feel like a victim. I wouldn't want to feel like I had some biochemical injustice inflicted on me and my family so that I could prolong my suffering. No, I don't want to prolong my suffering. I don't want to feel helpless and violated. I want to feel sad because I miss my loved one. It's not like me saying that cancer is bad and shouldn't happen, like the cancer feels bad. The cancer doesn't feel bad at all. The cancer doesn't feel bad that I don't think it should exist in the world, right? I'm the one that feels bad when I say that. So this is where should thoughts get us into trouble. They typically come from this place of feeling entitled to never have to experience anything negative in our life. But we, especially those of us in healthcare, we already know we do experience these things. These things do happen, even when they aren't good, even when they aren't right. They certainly are a part of the human experience, part of the reality of the human experience. There's an author, her name's Byron Katie. She says, "You can argue with reality, but when you argue with reality, you lose. Don't worry, you'll only lose 100% of the time, though. When you argue with what is, you lose and you suffer. So I highly encourage you to try to see where these should thoughts are happening in your own life, and then try to reverse them. This is going to start with really silly things at first, right? We all know my toilet paper saga, right? We all know the thoughts that I have went through personally about what should be in my home, about cleanliness, about people picking up after themselves, about taking out the trash, about toilet paper, about how we parent, about all of these things. I've had all sorts of should thoughts that over the last year or two that I've worked through. When you start to see these should thoughts come up for you, I want you to reverse them. So, in the example of the stethoscope being gone, the thought is people should not steal things from me. They shouldn't steal my stethoscope. I want you to reverse it. Obviously, they should steal your stethoscope because they did. Thinking that it shouldn't happen causes you to suffer. You are the only one that suffers in that scenario. Most of us have heard people have a thought about stealing. If they've been on the end where somebody has stolen stuff from them, people will hear this thought, well, I guess they needed it more than me. People will say that, oh, somebody stole my wallet. They stole all the money out of my wallet. Well, I guess they needed it more than me. I used to think these people were far more enlightened than me. They were super generous. They were like superhuman beings, right? They were better than me. Now I think they don't like to feel shitty. And you know what? When I look at that thought, I bet they don't feel shitty. I bet they feel amazing. Because that thought feels way better than I'm victimized because somebody stole from me, right? So give this a try. Do it initially. Start to see the silly shoulds. People shouldn't eat the last this. People shouldn't drink the last that in the house. People should do this or that. Whatever it might be. Or the driving. Holy crow, the driving. People shouldn't drive here. People should drive there. People should be more observant. People should use their turn signals. People should. Cops shouldn't try to pull us over at that place because it's a traffic hazard. I've got all sorts of shoulds floating around my head. I get it. I understand. It's totally part of our human experience. But the ones that are really causing you trial and tribulation and struggles, reverse them. Remember, they do happen. It's a probability that this is going to be a part of some human being's experience in the world. I'm no better than any of them. It's a probability that it'll be part of my experience also. And then start from that place and start to figure out how you want to feel about this, whatever that hard situation is. I want all of your emails, and I'm sure there's going to be tons of them. I want them. I want to hear how you think this is BS, how you think I've gone off my rocker, how you think all of it's horrible, because this is baloney. Rape shouldn't happen. Murder shouldn't happen. All of these things shouldn't happen. And when we sit there and we tell ourselves these things shouldn't happen and we are a victim of some kind of injustice, we justify all sorts of bad behaviors. All sorts of things aren't just bad, like right or wrong bad, but bad in a way that doesn't serve you. We justify all of these things because we have a thought that they shouldn't happen. Well, rape does happen. Murder happens. And it's sad. And it'd be nice if it didn't happen. But should happen? Yeah. It's probable that there will be human beings all over the world that have that as their experience. Absolutely. I want you to start looking at how you can rectify those thoughts into a way that's more meaningful and less victimized than the should thoughts. Let me hear what you guys have to say about this. I will be back next week, hopefully with a brighter, more cheery podcast. I'll work on that for you guys. You guys have a good week. Bye.
You've been listening to the Delane MD Weight Loss for Healthcare Providers podcast with Dr. Delane Vaughn. To learn more about life and weight coaching with Dr. Delane Vaughn, visit www.delanemd.com. The bus.